The title of this message is Discerning the Sacrifice of Christ. As I thought about this message, I thought that there are two things that are common between all walks of faith within Orthodox Christianity, two practices that every Christian church participates in on a continual basis. And they're the two, what we call ordinances, other groups call them sacraments. We would call them ordinances, two ordinances that Christ instituted. One is baptism. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the other is communion. Now, I realize that when you have something that is a normal occurrence in the life of the church or in your own life, how many have any routines that you do, familiar with? We can take those routines for granted. We can take those things that we do over and over again for granted without understanding. And sometimes we just go through the motions. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's just look at the scripture, and we're going to use that as our springboard this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 34. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Paul goes on to write, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come." Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this, what we lovingly and endearingly call the communion table, the table of the Lord, your table, may you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation this morning in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray. Holy Spirit, come and be our teacher. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first few points. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23-24, first of all, the Bible says we're called to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So, communion is a proclamation. Number two, we're called to examine ourselves. And so, we don't just come and run to this celebration without first stopping and carefully examining ourselves. Number three, we're called to discern the Lord's body. It says that we need to discern the body of the Lord and understand really what Christ did for us on the cross. And also his body is the body of Christ. And we are called to judge ourselves, it says in verse 31. As I was thinking about this, and in my devotions I've been reading in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is the book of ceremony and sacrificial law for the worship of the nation of Israel. So if there was a book that they used to know how to approach God, worship him, it was the book of Leviticus. Leviticus was the guidebook for the priests in the Old Testament.
So what I realize is that many times to more fully understand the present, we need to look a little bit back at the past. We need to take a look at the past and understand that. So I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone. I'm not an Old Testament scholar, and I'm not going to attempt to come as an expert in this area. I'm not. I'm just going to give you some gleanings of what God has placed on my heart as I reviewed and studied these things. First of all, two principles of why the Old Testament gives us understanding of the new. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, all these things happened to them, the Old Testament saints, as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the Old Testament is the picture of all that Christ is and all that He's done, and it was written for us so we could more fully understand what Jesus has done for us. Okay, so let's take a look at the Old Testament sacrifices and see how they represent the completed work of Christ. I believe that it's going to kind of really open up your eyes. This is a replica of the brazen altar that was out in front of the tabernacle. And so the first sacrifice we want to look at is the burnt offering. And I'm giving them to you in the order that you get them in Leviticus. So when you begin to read the book of Leviticus and you get to chapter 1, the first thing you read about is the burnt offering. I'm just going to give you a few facts about it and each one, and then give you the objective and the fulfillment. First of all, the burnt offering was an offering of a male from the livestock, an ox, a lamb, a goat, or if you didn't have enough money, you could offer turtle doves or pigeons, but they had to be without blemish and a male. The person offering the sacrifice would lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering to identify with that offering and transfer his sin. And the burnt offering was then offered with the sprinkling of blood on the horns of the altar for the atonement of the person making the offering. Now, what was the objective of the burnt offering? The objective of the burnt offering was to reconcile a person to God and declare their complete dedication to Him. So the purpose of the burnt offering, if you could just think of the word, it was reconciliation. Reconciliation was the purpose of the burnt offering. The fulfillment in Christ is found in Ephesians 2:13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We sang that song this morning, and again, this, you know, we talked about this last Sunday, but I don't call Eddie and Guy and say, okay, this is what I'm preaching on, you know, pick some songs that fit with that. The Holy Spirit just weaves that together, and so we sang that song, enter into the Holy of Holies. Enter into His awesome presence. And so it's through the blood that we enter into the Holy of Holies. It's through the blood of Christ that we who were estranged, that we who were afar off are now brought near into fellowship with God through the blood of Christ. The next offering we read about in the book of Leviticus is in Leviticus chapter 2. And that's the grain offering. And the grain offering was an interesting offering. The objective was that of worship. I'll jump to the objective then back up a little bit. But the grain offering was usually combined with the burnt or sin offering, and it was an offering of worship, declaring one's total dependence upon God for their daily needs. It was an offering of fine flour, beaten fine flour, combined with frankincense, seasoned with salt, never with leaven. What does leaven represent in the Bible? Sin. In the celebration of Passover, the thing they do for 7 days is they rid their home of the leaven. They turn everything upside down to get rid of every bit of leaven, and it's a picture of cleansing our lives. And so we sang again this morning, I want to be pure. I want to be clean. I want to be holy. So worship team, are you getting a little encouraged? It was an offering of fine flour, oil, and frankincense, seasoned with salt, without leaven. A portion was burned on the altar, and the remainder was made into cakes and eaten by Aaron and his sons. So it's provision for the priest. The fulfillment in Christ is found in John 6, verses 48 to 51. I'll just take the two verses, 48 and 51, when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. in the holy place within the tabernacle, there were three things. There was the light, the seven lights, the candlestick. There was the table of showbread, and there was the altar of incense. And the table of showbread represented Jesus Christ as the bread of life and entering into His presence and fellowship with Him. So it was an act of worship. The next offering is found in Leviticus chapter 3. And that's the peace offering. So when we go to Leviticus chapter 3, we come to the offering, which is entitled the peace offering. That was an offering of a male or female from the herd without blemish. So it's I don't fully know the significance of why God stipulated certain animals for certain sacrifices. I don't, maybe you have that understanding, I don't. Again, I'm not an Old Testament scholar, that wasn't my major. But He did have very specific guidelines for each sacrifice. The person offering this sacrifice, the peace offering, would lay his hand on the head of the peace offering to identify with the offering, but it wasn't an offering for sin. The meat from the offering, listen to this, was shared with God, the priest, and the one making the offering. In fact, when you study the book of Leviticus and you get to chapter 17, verses 1 to 5, you'll find that the only meat an Israelite could eat, listen to me carefully, the only meat an Israelite could eat was meat that was offered as a peace offering. Read Leviticus 17, 1 to 5. It says, if you shed the blood of any animal without offering it at the temple, then that was forbidden. So if you wanted to have a barbecue, and you wanted to have a barbecue steaks, you would bring that ox or cattle to the temple as an offering of a peace offering, and it would be slaughtered there, sacrificed, and then the meat would be shared between the priest and you and your family, and you would eat that meat. The objective was that it was an offering given as an act of thanksgiving. What do we do whenever we sit down to eat? We give thanks. You see some wonderful pictures here? We sit down with the provision God has given us, and we give thanks. And so this was an offering given as an act of thanksgiving. It was also combined when making a vow or just a free will offering. It was just saying, God, I just want to thank you that you're my provider. I want to thank you for all you've done for me. I'm coming to give this gift as a gift of thanksgiving. And isn't it wonderful that when we come to God to give thanks to Him, and I think there was another song we sang that fit right into that. I'm trying to remember it. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever, for He is good, He's above all things. His love endures forever, sing praise, sing praise. And then it says, forever God's faithful. And it talks about He comes and He imparts His love to us as we come to give thanks to Him. Offering of thanksgiving. Oh, pretty cool. Fulfillment in Christ is found in Ephesians 2:14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You know, we don't look for peace in a sense like some people are searching for karma. In Eastern religions, many times, they're trying to do things and come to this place. They come into this awareness of this thing they call karma or this tranquility. Peace is not something we achieve emotionally. It's a person imparted to us. Jesus said, it's better that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send my Spirit. But when I go, I'm going to send my Spirit into you. He'll be your comforter, and you'll receive peace as I come to dwell in your hearts. He Himself is our peace. That's why in the midst of the storm, if you're facing a storm right now, and some of you are, and you're in that boat, and the waves are hitting against that boat, and you're being tossed to and fro, and you have challenges unprecedented in front of you, you can stand on that boat and just say, wow, this is really cool, because He is your peace. Peace is not when the waves and the wind are gone. Peace is when Jesus is standing in the midst. Amen. He is our peace. Okay, the next one is the sin offering. We find and read about this in Leviticus chapter 4. This was an offering of a young bull or a female lamb without blemish. Notice the sacrifices were always without blemish. That means we need to give God our best. You couldn't, if you, and they were all farmers and herders, and you could not say, oh, there is a cow that was just born, D. You know, and he has one short leg. That's no good. Let's go sacrifice him. God said, I won't take that. You got to bring me your best. You ever notice when people, I don't know why I'm going off on this, when people donate stuff to the church sometimes, not this church, but in general or to charity, they give their junk. You ever driven by Goodwill and seen what some people bring to Goodwill? Why didn't they just throw it in a dumpster? You know what I'm talking about? Objective of the sin offering. The sin offering was given to atone or to secure forgiveness and pardon for a person when they unintentionally broke a specific command of God. This applied to priests, it applied to the whole congregation, it applied to the rulers and the common people. The person offering the sacrifice laid his hands upon the head of the sin offering to transfer his sins upon the animal. The blood and the fat were burnt on the altar with the sprinkling of blood. And listen to this. The remaining portion of the animal was burnt completely outside of the camp. Only the blood and the fat were used in the sacrifice. That's wasting a cow. Isn't he thinking you're natural? God's saying, it's the blood that makes atonement for sin. And so the blood was given and the fat burned upon the altar, but the rest, the head, the feet, the meat, everything else that a rancher sells was burned outside of the camp. This is for sins that were unintentional when people broke a commandment of God. They were sins directed toward God that needed to be atoned for. The Day of Atonement was a combination of both the burnt offering and the sin offering. Once a year, the high priest would offer a ram as a burnt offering and a bull as a sin offering for himself because he needed to be reconciled to God and forgiven of any sins that he committed before God before he could go and minister for the people. And then he would offer a sin offering for the nation of Israel, which was two goats, the sacrifice and the scapegoat. The blood of the sacrifice would be sprinkled on the altar and on the mercy seat and the laying of the hands on the scapegoat, confessing the sins of Israel over them, and the scapegoat would be released into the wilderness. You can read all about that in Leviticus chapter 16. The fulfillment in Christ is this: for he himself, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The last offering we read about in the Old Testament is what's known as the trespass or guilt offering. This is found in Leviticus chapter 5. And this is different than the sin offering. It's an offering of a female from the flock, a lamb, a kid of the goats, turtle doves, young pigeons, or even an offering of fine flour. So this was the most wide array of sacrifices you could bring. It's almost like saying, you just need to come to the altar. You know, you may not be able to afford, you may not even have a flock. You may be one of the poor of Israel, and you can even come with an offering of flour. The person offering the sacrifice would confess the area of his sin, and the priest would offer the sacrifice with the sprinkling of blood to make atonement for the offerer. The objective of this sacrifice was the trespass or guilt offering seems to be more directed toward sins done to one's fellow man or toward one's fellow man, whether knowingly or unknowingly. It's contrasted in this way to the one we just looked at, the sin offering, where the sin offering was sins that were committed against God unintentionally. This one covers sins that were done both intentionally and unintentionally, more in the area of things that are done against our fellow man. A New Testament correlation of this offering, the instructions of Jesus, when he said this, and I'm going to read Matthew 5, 23 to 24.
Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. What's the fulfillment in Christ? It's found in 1 John 1, 9 to 2, verse 2. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So let's go over these five again. You have the burnt offering with the goal of reconciliation. You have the grain offering with the goal of worship. You have the peace offering with the goal of thanksgiving. You have the sin offering to take and atone for sins that were committed against God unintentionally. And you have the trespass or guilt offering to take care of sins that you've committed against your fellow man. Now, it's very interesting when you study all of that, then you jump over and you get to Leviticus chapter 9. And when you get to Leviticus chapter 9, you see the priest actually, for the very first time, start doing the stuff. They learned about it. Moses downloaded the information to them. And now here in Leviticus 9, they begin to do it. And that gives us a picture of our invitation to the communion table. Communion is all about us being reconciled to God. Communion is all about us coming into His presence to worship Him. Communion is all about us coming to give thanksgiving to Him. Communion is all about us coming to be cleansed of sin, both that which we've committed against God and that which we've committed against each other. And so it's nothing to enter lightly, but yet, you'll see in a moment, it's something to be entered in joyfully. So let me just walk through the four things. Now, when the priests began doing their ministry, they did four things, but it wasn't all five. They weren't all in order. But here's what they did first. First of all, they offered the sin offering. They offered the sin offering for themselves and then for their sons that they could approach God. And so the application is we need to confess our sins and allow the blood of Christ to cleanse us as we approach the communion table. We need to examine ourselves, brothers and sisters. You know, that's what Paul said, examine yourself. He says, judge your own selves. You know, I'm not here to tell you what's wrong with you. I'm here just to point you to Christ. But I want to tell you, if you want to grow in the Lord, if you really want to become what He has desired to do and in your life and to bring destiny into your life, then you have to come with a humble heart. And you have to come and say, Lord, as David said, search me and know me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me and know me. And so, as you come this morning to the communion table, the first thing you need to do is search your heart. The first thing you need to do is confess your sins. The first thing you need to do, if all of a sudden, before you come to this table, whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper, if you're sitting there and you remember that you have something unresolved with a brother or sister, you need to get that reconciled. We walk around, listen to me, with unforgiveness and unresolved conflicts in our lives, and it will eat you away. There's provision and forgiveness and cleansing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have to deal with it. God said it's so important that before you give your gift to the altar, if you realize there's something that you have to get right with somebody, go and be reconciled to them first and then come give your gift. So don't walk with unforgiveness in your life. If God's prompting you right now, some of you know you need to go to somebody. This morning, you're going to need to make that call.
And you're going to need to say, we need to get together. We need to talk. So sin offering. The next thing that the priest did was they offered the burnt offering. Aaron offers the burnt offering for himself and the people so that they could stand right before God. So here's the application. We don't come. We examine ourselves, but when we come to the table, we come to stand in the completed work of Christ and to be clothed with His righteousness. There's nothing that we can do to make our lives acceptable to God. He did it all already. It's complete. And so you can be washed and forgiven, and you come to the table not to make yourself right, but to stand in the completed work of Christ on the cross, to stand in the reconciliation that God has established for you, to be clothed with His righteousness. And so the priest offered the burnt offering for the people, for themselves, to reconcile them to God. And so how many of you know the Bible says that they offered animal sacrifices continually, but in this end time, once and for all, Jesus Christ gave His blood to secure for us an eternal redemption. And so we can come to the table because the sacrifice has been paid in full. And we come to stand in what He's done for us, not in what we've done. For we can do nothing. Jesus said in John 15, without Me, you can do nothing. Do we really believe that? We don't. We really don't, because we always try to help Him out. That's a humbling thing. In my devotions this morning, I was reading in John chapter 15 and 16. It's one of my readings. And I came to that verse where Jesus said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And all of a sudden, it just quickened in my heart. There's nothing I can do other than to share the Word of God. That's my only job. I can't convict you of sin. I can't convince you of righteousness. I can't warn you of judgment in any way that will affect your heart. Only speaking the Word is what God commands me to do, and everything else is up to Him. I can't change your life, but I want to, because I want you to have everything God has for you. That's the hard part about being a pastor. You have to just kind of step back and realize it's not my work. And parents, listen to me. You have to stand back and realize in your children's life, it's not your work. I don't care how old your children are. Some of you older parents, you may have some 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old children. It's not your work. It's God's. If you got a 30-year-old and they're still living at home, we probably need to talk. Unless it's just temporarily. But anyway, burnt offering. And then there was the peace offering. The peace offering. Aaron offers the peace offering and the wave offering before the Lord to celebrate His atonement and offering praise and thanksgiving freely. We need to approach the communion table with joy and celebration. Where did we ever get this idea that communion and the things we do in the house of God are to be a rehearsal of sorrow? The Catholics call it Mass. I love my Catholic brothers and sisters that know Christ. They call it Mass because it's a sacrifice. They believe that every Sunday, Jesus is sacrificed anew. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, it was once done for all. He gave His blood once, and now He ever lives at the right hand of the Father. There's no hanging chin, thinking, oh, we're going to go through the sorrow again of His sacrifice and of His death. Do we reverence it? Yes. On Good Friday, we will reflect on it. But we'll come to celebrate what it's accomplished for us. He didn't say it's an ongoing thing. He said it is finished. And it was done. And so when we come to the communion table, I know I need to search my heart, appropriate God's forgiveness, 1 John 1, 9-2. And then I need to come to stand in the completed work of Christ and be clothed with the righteousness of God. And I need to come just to worship Him in celebration. And I love that song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. That's an old one. I remember the first time I heard that was years ago when I was at a conference in Pennsylvania. I was singing it with a bunch of Mennonites. Shine, Jesus, shine. I was going, come on, guys. You know, but it was a little bit different. But it's a good song. We need to shine with the joy and celebration the Lord has given us. It's not a rehearsal of sorrow. And finally, blessing. Blessing. Whoops. Got it adjusted? We don't want to lose you. Okay. Aaron blesses the people. Listen to this. And the glory of the Lord appears to all the people, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. Here's the application. As we come to the communion table, we need to enter into the fullness of God's provision for us in Jesus Christ. As we do this, as we proclaim the blessing of His grace, we too will be visited with His presence and with His holiness. Catholics teach a doctrine called transubstantiation, fancy term, because they believe that when communion is celebrated, and ask the worship team to come back forward and get prepared, they believe that when the table is celebrated, that there's an actual sacrifice taking place, that Jesus Christ again is dying on the cross, that He's shedding His blood again, that He's suffering again, that He's going all through it again. That's what transubstantiation means, and that the elements, the wafer and the cup, actually turn into the physical body and blood of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why in Catholic churches or some liturgical churches, when they come up to the altar, they stop and they bow? Has anybody ever wondered that? Well, growing up Lutheran, you know, we did that too. And the reason they bow is because they believe that the actual body and blood of Jesus is there on the altar, and they have to bow before the body and blood of Jesus. Well, Martin Luther got a little bit revived and realized that salvation was by faith alone. The just shall live by faith. And so he rewrote the understanding of communion into a term that theologians refer to as consubstantiation. And what he said is that the elements don't really change. There's no magic involved in that they actually literally change. The Catholics believe that they actually literally change. That's why up until just a while ago, only the priests could drink of the cup, because they didn't want to risk spilling the blood of Christ on the floor. But Martin Luther says, well, you know, they don't really change, but the literal body and blood of Christ are present in the elements. Evangelicals now just basically say it's a symbol. It's a wafer and a cup to represent the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who's right? Well, we have to dismiss transubstantiation because we know that that's not in line with the Scripture. But let me tell you something. I think Martin Luther was a little bit closer than the evangelicals, because we've turned it into just a ritual when we don't realize that the power of His life and of His healing grace and His miracle-working power are available to us every time we come to this table. Every time we come, it says, we proclaim the death of the Lord. We proclaim His death until He comes. We proclaim it. What are we proclaiming? Oh, Jesus died. You suffered so much. Oh gosh. No, we proclaim, it is finished. Healing is available. Salvation is available. Peace is available. Hope is available. Life is available. Everything's available. And when I come to this table, I come to stand in the completed work of Christ. I come to celebrate in all He's done for me, and I come to receive His grace. I enter into the Holy of Holies to receive grace and help in time of need. That's what we do. That's what we do. So I want us to sing that song, I Want to Be Clean. Need those gentlemen who are going to come and help us serve to pass out the elements. I want you to worship as
as they're passing out the elements. And I want you to hold the elements. We'll partake together. Let's just come and worship the Lord.
At your feet, Lord, I bow. Search me, O God, and know me now. Take this sin from my heart. I want to be just as you are. I want to be
together. I hope that this morning, in a deep and come with understanding to what we many times take for granted, we come, we use these circles, but Passover they use the unleavened bread has the marks of grilled on it, representing the stripes of Christ. You've seen the Jewish bread. And we think of the stripes that Jesus took for us. We have needs of healing here. Donna's going in for an operation on Wednesday. Cheryl's battling and recovering victoriously from cancer. Some of you need physical provisions of jobs, or you have loved ones who need jobs. Everything we need physically was secured for us on Calvary. And so, Lord, as we take this wafer, we come first trusting in your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come first recognizing our need to examine ourselves. And we come now to discern your body. You said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said that you would be our daily bread, that if we eat of this bread, we would live forever. You said that you would meet all of our needs according to your riches and glories in Christ Jesus. You were whipped 39 times. Your body was bruised and beaten for our redemption and our healing and our provision. Break the wafer with me. And as you do now, take of the wafer, just say, God, I thank you for the provision you've given me. I thank you for the answer to my prayers. I thank you for my healing. I thank you for the blessings of heaven being poured out upon me because of what Christ has already done. Partake of the wafer. If you noticed, the priest offered the burnt sacrifice and the sin offering before they went and ministered to the people. As we come to the communion table, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood given for the remission of your sins." So many times we just think of the cup as forgiveness, but we don't think of it as covenant. God has established a covenant with you, dear one, sealed with the blood of Christ. And that covenant cannot be broken. Jesus said, "All those that the Father has given me, not one of them has been snatched out of my hand." Not one.
of them has been lost. And so, Lord, we come to partake of this cup this morning, standing in the completed work of Christ, clothed with His righteousness, as Your covenant sons and daughters, bought with the blood of the Lamb. And You invite us now into the Holy of Holies to have fellowship with You based on this covenant that exceeds the old covenant. The glory that was diminished in the old covenant is surpassed by the glory that does not fade away in Jesus Christ. This is the celebration that we partake of in the cup that we share. And so Jesus said, take, drink, all of it. For this cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is given for the remission of your sins. Partake of the cup. Father, we humble ourselves before You this morning. And we thank You for all that You're doing in our lives, for Your grace, for Your mercy, and for Your provision. For You are a wonderful Father. You are a great God. Let's close this morning by singing that song that we sang already, Enter into the Holy of Holies. Stand with me, will you?
Enter into the Holy of Holies. Enter into the presence of God Almighty. Enter into the Holy of.
Let's worship Him this morning. Lift up your hearts.
Enter into the presence of God Almighty, Lord. Let Your love watch over me, healing all my. Let Your Spirit flow through me, Lord, and fill my life again. Enter into His awesome glory. And let Him fill you with His Spirit. Reach up into His awesome glory. Go and let Him fill you with His Spirit, Lord. Let Your love wash over.
Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this thought. As we were singing that last song, I just felt quickened in my heart. The high priest was the only one who was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies. Once a year, on that 10th day of the 7th month, on the festival of Passover, in the Day of Atonement, he would go in, after he had offered his burnt offering and sin offering for himself, he would go in to the Holy of Holies once, and that was it. He wore a bell and a rope tied around his leg so they could hear that he was still alive, that he didn't drop dead in the presence of God. And if he did, they knew they couldn't go in there, they could drag him out. Brothers and sisters, you get to live there. You don't come into the Holy of Holies once on Communion Sunday. You get to live there. You get to go and live in the presence of God and His provision every single day of your life. So I just want to give you this charge. Live there. Live there. Lord, What a joy it is to take the rope off of our ankle and the bells off of our garment, and like the old hymn, to come just as I am into your presence. Not through our office, not through our position, but through the blood of Christ, and you call us to come and live there. And so, Lord, I pray over your people that this week we might live there, that this week we might abide there, that this week we might just find all of our sustenance in that place of your presence. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord look down upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. The blessing that God spoke to Aaron to speak over the nation of Israel. Lord, we receive your blessing this morning. Go with your people. Meet every one of their needs. Open doors. Bring healing. Bring hope and life, love and joy, peace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name.